You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza and Dr. Melody Fox right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Answers for the Family. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza, and I'm flying solo again today as my co-host extraordinaire, psychologist Dr. Melody Fox, is taking a well-deserved day off to celebrate her birthday. So, Melody, happy birthday. But we're going to continue with the show as we do each week, and each week we will continue to bring you guests that can inspire, educate, and entertain while bringing answers and options to raising children today and in our constantly changing future. We will address issues such as locating a runaway teen, family crisis intervention, building self-esteem, dealing with addictions, and many great ways to keep your family mentally, physically, and spiritually sound. Now, having over 30 years' experience working with families in crisis, I've been fortunate to meet and work with some of the top professionals in many of the helping fields who are working to make this world a better place for all of us. And we'll continue to bring you some of these incredibly talented and caring people each week as we bring you Answers for the Family. Now, our topic today is one that's very near and dear to my heart, and that comes to that's personal responsibility. This is something that just really seems like we've lost our way a little bit. We've sort of become a nation of, you know, let's figure out a way to either blame somebody else or let's figure out a way to let somebody else deal with it. But there are things that we can do to help. And one of the things we're going to talk about today, which is a great place to start, and that is we're going to start with our oceans. One of the things that we become is a throwaway society. Now, some statistics are that it's estimated that 2.5 million water bottles are thrown away in the United States alone. Are you ready for this? Every single hour. And between 500 billion and a trillion plastic shopping bags are thrown away per year worldwide. Now, 6 to 10 million tons of plastic end up in our oceans every year, which is choking the life out of sea creatures. It is estimated that over a million seabirds will die from ingesting plastic just this year alone. Now, our guest has a solution in regards to how we can at least start making a dent and working in the right direction, and that is that he has the Take the No Plastic Pledge. And in doing so, that will help us start making a difference pretty much in our oceans, and from there we can start taking it to other parts of our planet. Now, our guest today is Dr. John Izzo. John has more than 25 years' experience as a business leadership expert, community leader, and an inspirational speaker. He has spoken to over 1 million people around the world about living a more purposeful life, and he's personally advised over 500 companies, including McDonald's and Walmart. Now, today we're going to be discussing his latest book, Stepping Up: How Taking Responsibility Changes Everything. Now, he is also the best-selling author of The 5 Secrets You Must Discover Before You Die, and he's hosted a 5-hour biography channel TV series. John holds advanced degrees in religion and psychology and is the author of other books including Awakening Corporate Soul, 4 Paths to Unleash the Power of People at Work, and Values Shift, the New Work Ethic and What It Means for Business. John, welcome to Answers for the Family.
Hey, it's great to be here.
Well, I want to tell you first, I really appreciate you taking time to talk with us. I found out that you're on vacation, so taking this time out is even more special. So we really appreciate it.
Well, thank you. Well, you know, when you care about a message, you'll do whatever it takes to get it out there. So I appreciate you having me on, and trust me, I'm relaxing as well.
Okay, that's great. So let's start off a little bit about your book. Tell us a little bit more about the book and why you felt that it was time to write a book about taking responsibility.
Well, first of all, I think that this, as you hinted earlier when you opened the show, I think personal responsibility is really at every fractal level, if you will, an issue of our age. I think every day we see examples of it in our personal life where people say, my marriage would be better if my spouse would just change. My work would be better if my boss were just different. I wish someone would do something about you fill in the blank, but usually what we mean is someone besides ourselves. Mm-hmm. So I think the truth is that the experience of blame and finger pointing, but also of feeling like a victim, has become really pervasive in our society. Two interesting statistics of why I feel this book is so important. One is, over the last 40 years, studies at San Diego State University have shown that undergraduate students in the United States over the last four decades have increasingly become more victim thinking in their mentality, meaning more and more they feel like the things that are going to influence their success and their life are out of their hands and someone else will decide that. And second, a recent survey was done by LinkedIn of people all over the world, asking them for their biggest pet peeves about their colleagues at work, the things that really burn your onion about other people at work. Number one biggest pet peeve was people who finger point and don't take personal responsibility. Mm-hmm. So I think that this is kind of an issue of our age, and we see it even in our political life, where parties on both sides basically say, look, everything's broken, and the one thing they're sure of is it's not them who broke it.
Right. Yeah. Actually, I think it's a great analogy, because yes, we have, we have these parties that are pointing at each other, but I think even more than that, and I think from a political side, it just seems like a lot of the message that they're putting out there is that, you're not smart enough to make these decisions yourself. You need us to do it for you. So let us take the responsibility for it. Only if they can then explain that it was something good. If it's something good, then they're going to take responsibility for it, and I think they're going to try and take credit for it, really leaving us as the people, saying, well, I guess I can't do it, or I guess we need them to do it, and obviously I don't believe that's the case.
Yeah, and just to kind of connect the dots here, one reason I wrote this book as well is because I believe most of the big problems that face us today are really going to be solved by millions of individuals stepping up in their sphere of influence to make a difference. So, we'll talk about plastic, but as one great example, the government won't solve that issue. What's going to solve it are individuals stepping up. So whether it's our political life, things like plastic, or in our personal lives, there's something incredibly empowering when we say, instead of what can someone else do about this, what can I do about it? And the truth is, most of the problems we face, from climate change, on down, will really be solved only by millions of us deciding to do what we can. So that's another reason why I think it's such a timely subject.
Yeah, absolutely. And you brought up the thing about the plastics. And as I said in the beginning, we can start with one thing. I mean, we couldn't do a one-hour show and touch on all of the things that we can do. But this is one thing that every person can do something, and it will make a difference. And that's one of the things that I loved about your book, in the sense of, look, you can do this. So going into it a little bit, and I know that, and I almost gave it away in the introduction, but tell us about the plastic pledge. What is the one simple thing that we can do in the plastic pledge that will make a difference for all of us?
Well, yeah, exactly. And it might be helpful to give you a very quick framework of how I got into this, because it's a good example of what happens when we decide to take responsibility. A couple of years ago, as a citizen, I became increasingly aware of this huge problem of plastic garbage all over the world. You gave some of the numbers, and as you said, 2.5 million plastic water bottles every hour in America alone thrown out. It's almost unbelievable. And so the interesting thing is, I began to understand the impact of this, how in the Pacific Ocean off the coast of California now, there literally is a permanent swirling whirlpool of plastic bigger than the size of Texas. that literally, is choking the ocean. In many parts of the ocean now, there's more plastic particles than plankton. So, you know, this is almost unfathomable. And so I became overwhelmed by this. I thought, well, what can I as one person do about this? And by the way, when we surveyed people for the book, Why Don't You Step Up More?, what really struck me is the number one reason people said they didn't step up more in their life was they said, well, look, I'm only one person, it won't matter. So to make a long story short, the first thing is I said, well, I wonder if I could just begin to rid my own life of plastic. So I did some research and found out the three most common pieces of plastic that wind up in the ocean are plastic garbage bags, plastic straws, and plastic water bottles. So I started thinking, I wonder if I could rid my life of those three things. So I kind of took a pledge to myself about a year ago. I said, let me go for a few months and see if I can eliminate those three things. And by just getting a couple of metal water bottles, by getting, some cloth plastic bags that I kept in my car, cloth bags, and just sipping my drinks instead of sucking them, I found within a couple of months I could eliminate probably about 60 to 70% of my plastic usage by getting rid of those things, disposable plastic. And so then, about a month and a half ago, I decided to launch this online pledge to try to challenge millions of people to take this simple pledge. And the bottom line is, if we could do it, if we could get millions of people to take that simple pledge, we would literally eliminate probably about a billion pieces of plastic going into the ocean every year just by several million people taking this pledge. So can one person make a difference? Yes. And every person listening can take this pledge. And one important point, you may not be 100% pure. Sometimes you'll be in a restaurant, someone will throw a straw in your drink anyway. You'll be in Africa or somewhere and you have to use a plastic water bottle. Even if you're only 90% pure, you will make a big difference by taking the pledge.
Absolutely. One of the great things about online radio is that there are people sitting at their computer right now. For those that want to go to the site, what site can they go to take the pledge right now?
Very simple, www.noplasticpledge.com, just noplasticpledge.com. You can see a video, take the pledge, and then immediately see some resources and videos that will connect you to the issue, et cetera. And again, take it even if you don't think you can be 100% pure, because you'll begin to really think about this issue in a different way and realize how much plastic all the time that you're using that you don't need to.
That's great. Now, do you hear that, everybody out there? Now, you're at your computer. You can go right now to that site. You can just open up another window. You won't lose us. You can still hear us. You can go to that site. You can click on it. May not be able to watch the video without losing us, so just click on it.
Yeah, let's not do that.
But, you can still make the pledge. And for many of us, I don't think we need to watch the video. I think we know it's the right thing to do. For those of you driving, obviously, you can't do it now. But if you can either... if you don't remember that, you can always go to our site, www.answers4thefamilyblog.com. We will have that information on our site that you can then read it and go to the No Plastic site and make the pledge later once you've reached your destination. So now let me ask you this, because I think it's what a lot of us run into, but what do you say to those that believe that my actions won't make a dent in the solution? They say, why do I bother? I know when people see that I have the canvas bags in my car for when I go to, to the grocery store. And in fact, one of the bags, the one that I got at Whole Foods, says, I used to be, a plastic bottle. It says right on the bag that I use. Now, there are people that'll get in the car, they'll see that, and I'll explain to them a little bit about it, and they sort of frown and look at me like, and the look in their eyes is like, why do you bother? How are you going to make a difference? What do you tell those people?
Well, because of this survey where we found out this was the number one reason people don't step up more, I try in my book Stepping Up really talk about why, in fact, one person does matter. And there's two concepts that I think we forget that are so important. The first is what I call the responsibility ripple. And that is that when one person steps up and changes the status quo, it often creates a ripple where other people then step up. You know, I talk in the book, for example, about how we all know that yawning is contagious. And for years, you know, university researchers tried to figure out, well, why is yawning contagious? And then they finally found that the most obvious answer is the true answer, which is as human beings, we naturally imitate each other. Probably comes from our early stages where cooperation was important. And so, you know, by imitating smiling when someone else smiled, they knew you weren't a threat. So the interesting thing is, in the book, I share all these stories of people who stepped up, like two high school students who stood up to a bully who had bullied a kid for wearing a pink shirt and just got as many of their friends as possible to wear pink the next day. And about 90% of the school wound up showing up in pink. And even these two kids had no idea how powerful they were. And 5 years later, there are pink shirt days now in 21 countries all over the world because these kids stepping up created a ripple. So the first thing is every time you do that, even if that person frowns when you tell them what you said, you don't know what happens later. Maybe later they're at the store and they think, you know, I really shouldn't take that plastic bag. They see that cloth bag and they make a decision. The second is we forget the power of aggregate influence. So the truth is, if I'm the only one who takes that pledge, my actions really won't make a difference. But what I have to remember is that if millions of people, individuals, step up, the aggregate influence is huge. That's where we get to that billion or 2 billion reduction in plastic garbage in the oceans. And here's the point. The world won't change because I take the pledge or stop doing whatever it is, stand up to bullies. But if I don't change, the world can't change because it depends on the aggregate of each one of us stepping up. So if someone's listening today thinking it won't matter if I do this, what you really have to remember is if you decide not to do it and your neighbor decides not to do it, eventually we don't get that aggregate influence. But if just every individual decides to step up, before you know it, the aggregate is huge. And my book shares many stories of where that was true.
Yeah, and you know that's a great point, and it works in so many different areas. And actually, I was at a fundraiser this weekend, and we were talking about, you know, making a dent in human trafficking. And the person, there was somebody there. He was from a Middle Eastern country that was visiting, and he said, you know, are you really making a difference? You know, can you really look at it and say that we're making a difference? And at that time, and I said, you know, I said, if we only get, you know, 4 or 5 girls out of somewhere this month, you know, or whatever, we're making a difference, not necessarily because of that, but because they may go to another country, get a great education, and go back and make a difference in their country. We're not staying in that country at that point and continuing on with it, but so many people are going back to do that. So again, so as you're saying, those people that maybe, you know, take the torch and start to go with it, there's so many other people, especially young people, that may take that torch and make a much bigger difference than we did individually just because they saw what we were doing. So I couldn't agree with you more.
Well, and exactly, and again, using the pink shirt boys as an example, you know, they had no idea they would start a movement of pink shirt days all over the world. They just decided to do something. And when they were interviewed after that first pink shirt day on national television, the kind of cynical journalist asked them the obvious question, hey, do you think this is really going to, you know, do you think we could ever stop bullying? Isn't it just human nature? And I love what the one kid said. He said, you know, he said, I don't think we'll ever stop all bullying. He said, but if every one of us just stepped up to do what we could do in our sphere of influence, we could probably get rid of most of it. And inadvertently, he was talking about this idea of aggregate influence that, you know, if each of us just looks at only our small part of the picture, we think it doesn't matter. But when we imagine it rippling out, suddenly we realize how powerful we really are. But again, the world can't change if I don't change, even though it won't change because I change. It's kind of almost like a Zen riddle.
Yep. Yeah, and actually we're getting a message coming in. We get emails and instant messages that come in. We have one now from a listener that says, I read your book, Values Shifts, and was so happy to see the new title about responsibility. I understand this book focuses on recycling. My comment is, in our community 4 years ago, only one home in 10 had a recycling barrel. Over the last 3 years, we are now 9 out of 10 have a recycling barrel. More importantly, on our every other week scheduled pickup day, the barrels are so full, you know, the tops will not close. My neighbors state that they have to put their overflow into the regular garbage because the city will not respond to the demand. What are your thoughts about this?
So first of all, hats off that's happening. And in a moment, I'll refer to a great story in the book that really reinforces how important that is. But you know, the thing is now, if the city is not responding, then now is the next part of stepping up. You know, make an appointment to go to the city council. Get all your friends to write a letter. You know, in other words, don't stop there. Don't let, again, the impossible, you know, daunt you. One of the things one of the chapters in the book, which is not just about recycling, but about really generally stepping up and taking responsibility, is I talk about the fact that only naive people ever change the world. And almost everybody who I feature in the book who stepped up to do anything had people on the sidelines saying, look, you won't make a difference. So, you know, there's a woman in Northern California, for example, who took on Clorox in a positive way to try to get them to recycle Brita water filters because she knew there was a recycling program in Europe. And the CEO basically originally sent a letter back saying, no, we can't do that because city recycling centers won't take these. Long story short, she didn't take no for an answer, just kept getting other people to write letters, et cetera. And a year later, Clorox started a recycling program with Whole Foods for Brita water filters, all because one woman just started writing letters and getting other people to write letters and started the Yahoo group. So again, we don't realize how powerful we really are when we begin to step up. Other people suddenly show up.
Yep. And you know, and again, I think that looking at it, like you say, and when you mentioned, I was thinking about it when you mentioned about, you know, going to the city council meeting. You know, those people are elected officials. If enough of you go there and enough of you say, this is what we need, this is what we want to make a difference, they're going to do that. They want to get elected again. They want to listen to what it is. And something like this that is so positive, there's no reason for them not to get behind it.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I think sometimes, just to be political for a moment, not as in partisan, but in a more global way, I think as citizens, we spend too much time worrying about who's going to get elected. What we should be spending more time thinking about is how we can get more involved as citizens, telling our representatives what they need to do. Because the truth is, it doesn't take millions of people. If even a small percentage of us stepped up more and were really active in the political process, leaders would wind up having to listen to us. And certainly in your municipalities, in cities and towns, it's even more true. We're so powerful, we have no idea. So we should stop worrying so much about who gets elected and start thinking more about how we can influence those who are already in office.
Absolutely. Now we're going to take a break. We are talking with Dr. John Izzo. The book is Stepping Up, How Taking Responsibility Changes Everything. Founded over 25 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, West Shields specializes in resolving adolescent issues that negatively impact the family. From preteen to young adult, we are experienced and qualified to help. We offer solutions which include referrals to a network of top professionals internationally that we work very closely with in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, and psychiatry. Our in-home crisis intervention care program helps to stabilize families and bring effective resolution. We are supported by our licensed investigation company that enables us to offer legal and expert services for locating runaway teens and more. Our therapeutic transportation services help to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely provided transportation to specialized schools and programs with unmatched experience and success. Simply put, West Shield Adolescent Services is the best solution when your family is facing personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585 and let us help you. And you're back with Answers for the Family. Our guest is Dr. John Izzo. The subject is taking responsibility. What are the things that you can do, you personally, that there is so much that you can do if you just set your mind to it? So, John, now we were talking, and when we started out, we were talking in regards to the oceans. Can you give us a little bit more information in regards to the statistics as to why, in other words, there's people out there that maybe say, okay, yeah, but, you know, I've gone in the ocean. Why is the fact that there's enough plastic the size of Texas floating around out there that, you know, that it's a problem? I mean, give us a little bit more of the details as to why this is so detrimental to all of us.
Yeah, well, there's really four things. Number one, as you said, literally in the furthest, most remote places in the world now, like a friend of mine is doing a film about Midway Island, which is literally over 2,000 miles away from any continent, and literally baby albatross are literally dying by the hundreds of thousands because their mothers feed them plastic garbage, thinking it's food. So they literally, you dissect these baby birds and their bodies 2,000 miles away from any continent are filled with plastic. So that's the first thing. And it's happening all over the world. The second thing is, from a climate change perspective, you know, plastic is very detrimental in a whole variety of ways. A, we can't really recycle it the same way you can glass and aluminum. So glass and aluminum, we can pretty much turn into new cans and new bottles. But plastic is much harder to recycle. And so the bottom line is a great deal of even what we put in the recycling winds up not being able to be used because the waste is so high. So plastic is inherently, you know, a carbon producer. So it's bad for climate change. The third thing is that, you know, this plastic literally biodegrades at such a slow rate that it leaks toxins into the ocean. And guess what? When you're eating your fish that you're having for dinner tonight, pretty good chance you've got plastic toxins inside your fish. And I won't bore you with the statistics, but literally all over the world, from fertility rates, et cetera, infertility being influenced by this massive amounts of plastic that we now carry resident in our bodies, in our drinking water, in the food that we eat. So it's also bad for our human health, and really we have no idea. The leading researchers all around the world are just now finding out how incredibly destructive this plastic may be to us human beings. So there's three great reasons right there. I could go on, but climate change, dying seabirds, toxins being leaked into the ocean and getting into the food chain, and the list goes on. I mean, it's something that I think any thinking person should be concerned about, and the amount of plastic we're using and disposing of is growing every year all over the world.
Right. And then,
and by the way, I went to university in 1975 is when I started university, September 1975. If you think about it, almost no one used plastic disposable shopping bags then. They were very rare. Plastic water bottles, hardly anybody when I was in university walked around with plastic water bottles, even though none of us seemed to get dehydrated. And so many of these products, too, that we've come to depend on, it's very recent that they become such an intrinsic part of our daily life. So the truth is we can do without them much more easily than we think.
Right. And I think another thing, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, but because there's a particular type of water that I drink where I go to get it, and there's a higher quality of plastic, and it's actually it's darkened. But it's very, very reusable, whereas the plastic bottles that you're getting from the store, and especially if you live in a warm climate like this, by leaving those things in your car, if you then go out and drink them, that plastic is actually breaking down and going into your water unless you have a really, really high quality level of plastic that it won't break down. So again, the stuff that you're getting really is possibly harming you at that time in which you're drinking, and if you're letting it get extremely hot before you drink it, after it cools down.
Yeah, and ironically, since most of us drink it because we think it's healthier, many bottled waters are less regulated than your city municipal water system. So, and again, if you have to have filter, you know, get a Brita filter or something like that you think can recycle that, and at least you can get that water into those metal bottles that are best for you. Or as you said, look into the best plastic bottles that can be recycled more easily as well.
Yeah. Now, and we have another listener question coming in. This one says, I am a teacher in a, quote, not so great urban area junior high school outside of Detroit. The trash on the sidewalks around the school is at least 50% plastic bottles and bags. It is really discouraging to see how little the kids care. They drop anything that becomes empty wherever they happen to be standing. What do you suggest we do or say to try to impact them?
Well, I think the first thing is, is to just make them aware of the impact of this. And so, again, our website, noplasticpledge.com, you can see some great statistics. I think the second thing is, you know, get some kids who do care, or put it, you know, say, you know, perhaps put out an opportunity for people to go and spend a day picking up some of that stuff and recycling what they can and throwing out what they can. You know, get them the little hook things that, you know, people use to go and pick up stuff, or gloves. And just have a day where people go out and make it a visible day where others can see, and they see how the place looks different, right? And again, to the point of, we don't have to get everyone to step up. Don't worry about trying to convert everyone. Begin by trying to just say, who might be, you know, put out a call. Hey, I'd like to, you know, have a meeting, talk about all this garbage around the school, and somebody would like to do something about it. And even if you only get 10 kids, what can those 10 kids do? Again, remembering the responsibility ripple, right? That if even 10 kids go out there and clean up one day, the other kids go, man, what are you doing? And suddenly you begin to do it. And again, one of the principles in my book generally is that we can't change anyone else. All we can do is change ourselves. So whether it's in my marriage, and I wish there was more romance or civility, I can't change my spouse, but I can change myself. I can't change my colleagues at work, but I can change how I'm showing up. And you can't, even as a teacher, change all of those kids, but you can probably, A, say, what can I do? And one of the things you may be able to do is organize some teachers and kids who care about it and go out and show how it might be different if we did clean this up. So begin with the people who, like yourself, want to step up and do something, because we probably can't change everyone, but we can begin with ourselves and begin with those who perhaps want to do something, and just find one thing you can do. One of the chapters in my book is Do Something, Do Anything, because almost all the people I know who stepped up, who I interviewed, didn't have a grand plan. They just said, what's one thing I could do? So I'd say to that teacher, what's one thing you could do to get a few students to do something about it? And start there.
Yeah. Now, I know we're not going to be able to go into all of the things that people could do, but I know that you have a lot of those things listed in the book. How can people get the book? Is it at a website? Is it at Amazon? What are the best ways for people that are now interested that want to get it?
Yeah, you can get the book in any variety of ways. You can go like to a Barnes & Noble or your local independent bookstore. It's available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. If you're an iReader and you want to read it on your iPad or iPhone or Kindle, etc., it's both in Kindle on Amazon. It's on Google Books. So the book is available in almost every form you need to get it. So if you're an electronic reader, go to Google Books or to Amazon, or again, you can go to your local bookstore or order it at Amazon.com.
All right. And if you end up having questions for Dr. John himself, he has a website as well, www.drjohnizzo.com. That's JOHNIZZO.com. Now, John, let me... Again, most of the people listening are parents. Now, we've talked a little bit about, now this is a teacher that called in about what a teacher can do. You know, what do you suggest that we as parents can do, you know, just to set a better example for our children?
Well, you know, I'm glad you asked that, because I give a lot of examples in the book of both from my own parenting, but also generally this issue of how personal responsibility impacts us as parents and as families. And a couple of things. The first thing is, we have to remember as parents, we are role models to our kids. They are learning the most when we don't even think we're teaching them. So every time we don't take responsibility and instead finger point and act impotent as if we can't change something, that's the role model we're giving our kids. The second thing is that we need to challenge our children to take responsibility for their part of every problem. Let me give you a simple example. My partner is a teacher, and she tells me that in her career as teaching, one of the things she's noticed is when she first started teaching, the parents would more likely come in if you wrote a note home, hey, you know, Johnny's given us some trouble. The parent would come in having already reamed Johnny out and come in and say, what's he doing and what do I need to tell him? Now she says the parents are just as likely to show up saying, what are you doing that Johnny's got a problem?
Yep.
So I think as parents, I always make this point. Let's say your teacher is the problem. Let's say little Johnny has a teacher who's not the best teacher in the world, and it's only 1% or 5% Johnny's problem. Which is he going to learn more from? you telling him the teacher needs to change, or you helping him or her take responsibility for their 5 or 10%. So one of the things as parents is teach your kids, you can't change anyone else, but you can always take responsibility for your part of the problem, whether it's 1% or 90%. And this is a very important lesson our kids need to learn. And by the way, a very important thing for parents to know, studies on a psychological concept called internal locus of control, I won't bore people with the psychology in the book, they can learn more. But the bottom line is people who feel like victims versus who people feel like their own hard work and their own efforts produce their success. We know that kids who have a victim mentality, who think that the rest of the world has got to help them, are less successful, less healthy, and will have worse relationships than ones who have an internal locus of control. So as parents, the more we help our kids focus on what they can change instead of blaming and pointing at others, we're going to influence their success in relationships, in work, and in their life generally. So this is a big issue.
Yeah, it certainly is. And when you brought up that example of the teacher and you say, okay, let's just say it happens to be that one situation in which it is a bad teacher. Guess what? Your child is probably going to learn quite a bit just by figuring out how to deal with difficult people, because guess what? They're going to run into them as they become adults. So why not have them learn how to deal with it now rather than just say, oh, well, you don't have to deal with it. We'll figure out a way to fix it or to replace that person.
Exactly. You're going to have a bad boss. You're going to have a colleague at work who drives you nuts. And the truth is you can only change yourself. So by helping them say, what can I do? And sometimes people ask me, how do I get people in my life out of a victim space, whether it's my partner, my kids, or colleague at work? And what I always say to people is, whenever you hear someone ranting about anything, and especially when you hear them saying, someone should, say, you know what, someone should, but what do you think you could do about it? So, you know, my husband's not as romantic as I want him to be. You know, you're probably right. He needs to change. But what could you do to bring more romance? You know, I'm having a problem with this kid at school or the teacher at school. Well, that's great. They should change. But I wonder what you could do about it. And it's an incredibly empowering question to ask someone. Well, you're right. They should change. But what could you do to change the dynamic?
Yeah, I'm for those that can't see this, I'm smiling at the moment. I mean, I couldn't agree more. It is such a great way to approach things. And John, on your end, we're getting a little bit of static or feedback. Is there something going on there?
Is that better?
Yeah, that's a little bit better.
Sorry about that. I apologize to the listeners. I'm actually on vacation, and I think it should be gone now. Is it gone?
Okay. Yeah, it's certainly better now. But anyway, yeah, I was just smiling going that is so well put from the standpoint of, you know, being able to turn it around on somebody, shine a mirror, or put a mirror up in front of them and just have them look at it and go, okay, I understand what you're saying, but what is it that you can do different? Or what is it that you can do to make that come out with the result that you're looking for? So, yeah, I think that's such a great lesson for everybody. So now.
Yeah, you know, part of. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, what I was going to say is that, you know, even when I wrote this book, you know, because think about the title, Stepping Up, How Taking Responsibility Changes Everything. What I worried about is that people would think that this would be some parental finger wagging at you saying, step up, you useless drone. But the interesting thing is I see it in an entirely different way. And that is the moment you stop worrying about what anyone else is going to do, and instead you ask what you can do, you're in an incredibly empowered, positive place. Because every time you're thinking, I can change my boss, I can change the president or the governor or whoever it is you think you disagree with, so they should do something about plastic, they should do something about bullying, my husband should do something about, you know, civility in our relationship. The moment you're in that place, you're disempowered and a victim. So actually taking responsibility is not actually a big yoke you have to carry around. It's actually incredibly freeing when you suddenly realize, maybe I should just do what I can do. And then suddenly you feel powerful. I spent months, you know, worrying about this plastic thing. But the moment I started doing something, I suddenly felt empowered, even if I'm not changing the world all by myself.
Yeah. And you know, as you were saying, that reminded me, and it's been in the news just recently, there's a community where The 17-year-old kids have gotten together. They've purchased T-shirts, and they have written they want a change in the law to change the voting age, at least in their municipality, to 17. And the interviewer asked one of them. They said, you know, you're going to be 18 next year. Why are you going to all of this trouble to do this? Why are you trying to do this right now? And this very bright 17-year-old said, well, before this, I found myself complaining about the fact that everybody that was over 18 and voting was not making the right decision. And then I realized the way that I could make a difference was to change the voting age to 17 so that I could help make a difference now. And even if we don't get this till after I turn 18, there'll be a whole new crop of 17-year-olds that will be able to look at this and say, I can make a difference now because these people set the standard.
You know, it's such a great example. Now I'm smiling because I'm thinking of, think of the transformation that happened for that 17-year-old kid, right?
Yeah.
Think of the transformation now in himself, right? From this negative energy of ranting about the people, stupid people over 18 who wouldn't change the world, to now he's in the game doing something. And that's what I would say to someone. Whatever you find yourself ranting about in your life, whether it's in your personal life or in the bigger global landscape or at work, the moment you say, what can I do about that, you're going to find the energy will shift for you in an incredible way. And that's what I tried to communicate in the book, is that that's why responsibility is so freeing rather than a big burden.
Mm-hmm. Now, and when I made the introduction, we talked about the fact that you've done a lot of things. I mean, as far as business leadership expert, as a community leader, you've done inspirational speaking, and companies like McDonald's and Walmart. I mean, what are some of the things for people out there that are maybe newer business people or whatever? What are some of the things they can do, not just in their personal life, but maybe in their business life, to take responsibility and make a difference?
Good question. And as you said, I've worked with about 500 companies, 500 to 600 companies all over the world. And I have a whole section, one chapter in the book on for leaders about how do you really create a climate of responsibility? Because often as leaders, that's what we want. We want other people to step up and be accountable. And I think the first thing is two principles for someone who's a business owner, a leader, manager. The first thing is that business is going to be a real leader in solving many of the problems of our time, from climate change to poverty and all these kinds of things. The businesses are leading the way in many ways, small and large businesses. The second thing is, in terms of your own employees, there's two things to keep in mind, and I talk about them in the book. The first is that people will act responsibly when they're given responsibility. So in other words, if you want people to act more responsible in your business, give them more responsibility. So instead of having rules, for example, for them, have guidelines, and instead of telling them what to do, coach them what to do and their own brain. At the Ritz-Carlton, for example, who I've worked with, every housekeeper and every employee has $1,000 at their disposal to use to please an unhappy guest or to thrill a guest every single day. Now, people say, my God, doesn't the Ritz-Carlton go out of business giving every employee $1,000 of responsibility? But the truth is, when you treat people responsibly, they act responsibly. And so, you know, that's part of the principle. And finally, give people a seat at the table. Involve them in decisions. So many times as leaders, we wonder why people resist the decisions we make. And the reason is because most of us don't resist change. We resist being changed. So part of the way we get people to act responsibly is to give them a seat at the table when we make decisions, so they're owners of it and they feel like they're in the game.
That is great. Can I be the first to announce that you'll be running for office to try to change some of our political?
God, I'd love to, man. I've actually got a guy in Louisiana. He's thinking of a business person stepping up. There's a gentleman who runs a fabricating company in New Orleans, who wrote me about the book Stepping Up a few months ago and said that I want to get this book in the hands of every U.S. congressperson. Yep. And he's been systematically trying to get this in the hands of everyone in Congress. And it's been kind of a wonderful thing to watch from the outside. Again, I think I could make a bigger difference by getting citizens to act more like citizens.
Yep.
And to be involved. And, you know, the founders of the United States envisioned an engaged citizenry who would hold their leaders accountable. And I think that's the part we've missed. So, frankly, if I ran for office and won, I'd probably be as frustrated as everyone else because I'd find still a disengaged citizenry that let my colleagues get away with murder, so to speak.
Right. But at the same time, as you said, you know, right from the beginning, we have to start somewhere. Somebody has to get in there so that other people see it, so that more people do it, and more people recognize that that's what the Constitution was written for, and we just need to get back to it.
Yeah, and you know, I have a friend in Colorado, Jeff Smart, who's trying to now do this very thing about trying to encourage more people to run for office, because we've really now come with often the brightest and the best among us, ordinary citizens, have written off the political process, and we need good people to run for city council, to run for, you know, state legislature, and all those kind of things all across the country, because if really thoughtful people start to infiltrate that process, it's going to make a big difference.
Absolutely. And I think it goes along the same lines with what we're talking about with the oceans or with anything else, is that you can make a difference. And it doesn't mean that, you know, if you're looking at it and it looks like it's too big of a thing to go out and start a nonprofit or to start something, that doesn't mean that you can't join one. You can't figure out what is it that makes the most that touches you the most. Is it what's going on in the oceans? If that's it, there's a group like Oceana. You can join their group. They're already making a difference. You can join it. You can find a way that you can help. If it has to do with animal rights, there are plenty of great organizations in regards to that. If you're appalled by human trafficking, we have organizations that you can join, get involved in, and help in that. So there's so many different things that you can do out there. You really can make a difference, each and every one of you.
Yeah, exactly. And I always say, you know, what's the thing that really burns your onion? You know, one way you know that when you're watching the news or reading the newspaper, what's the thing that always jumps out at you and gets your blood boiling? For me, it was always things around the environment and conservation. So it was natural for me to step up in that area with the No Plastic Pledge, et cetera. But, you know, for others, as you said, it's something else, you know, and so just do something, do anything, just get started. And to your point, don't worry about whether you're going to start something big. When those two kids stood up to and had the first Pink Shirt Day, they weren't even thinking, let's start a Pink Shirt Day movement. They just said, how can we do something about this one kid who's been bullied? So when a kid in Fort McMurray, Canada, learned about plastic and went to lobby his city council about, you know, stopping plastic shopping bags, he had no idea he'd become a kind of a star across Canada, encouraging other municipalities to do it. He just wanted to do something in his little city, right? Mm-hmm. And so, again, as you said, you don't have to be the star. In fact, most of the people who wind up being the star didn't set out to be the star. It just kind of happened because they decided to do something.
Yeah, and I know now in what you set up, you know, with your pledge, you know, your pledge to remove plastic, set a goal. And I know that, you know, for everybody out there, whatever it is that you want to do, set a goal, because if you can meet your goal, that's, you're going to feel so good inside. So, John, we just have about a minute, but tell us, what was your goal when you decided to do the plastic pledge?
Well, my goal was, to get 1 million people to take this pledge all over the world. We're far from that now, but we're just getting started. And what we're really doing is raising awareness in the meantime. Even people who don't take the pledge might listen and go, well, at least I can start thinking more about this issue. And mostly I wanted to inspire, through the book Stepping Up and through this pledge, other people to say, what do you care about? Just step up and do something. Get involved. Don't be on the sidelines. Whether it's your marriage, your workplace, or something in the world, you make much bigger difference than you think you do. So I wanted to get 1 million people to do it, raise awareness, but also challenge others to step up about the things they care about.
Well, John, you have made a difference already. You're continuing to make a difference. And for everybody out there, take this, to take this lead and go out and make a difference yourself. Again, the book is Stepping Up, How Taking Responsibility Changes Everything. John, thank you so much for coming on, and keep us posted as to how things are going, and I hope we can get you back on again.
That'd be great, and thank you guys for stepping up and having this show and influencing people the way you are. You, too, are starting a ripple bigger than you think.
All right. Thank you. And for everybody out there, again, we will continue to be here every week on Mondays at 11 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. It's Answers for the Family. Have a great week.
You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk. Right here on LA Talk Radio.